Hey, everybody. Before we get started with It's a Bit, we got to talk to you about the Saints Cup Snake. It's coming up. It's this Saturday. We're gonna break the mammoth record. 314. Those bastards in Colorado, man. They literally took a bunch of tin cups out of aluminum cups out of a box and stacked them together. They didn't even drink out of them. We're going to break the record anyways at the Saints game on Saturday, aren't we?
Yeah, let's not even give them any more credit. Like, I wouldn't even count that. Let's break our own record.
It doesn't count at all.
Yeah,
right?
Let's break our own record.
It's like,
fuck them.
The guy who caught Barry Bonds, like, record breaking home run, he, like, branded it with an asterisk. So, like, it'll always have that asterisk. That record by Colorado will always have that asterisk.
It is kind of funny because if you Google Colorado Mammoth, the first thing that shows up was the blog I wrote that said the Colorado Mammoth are a bunch of frauds.
Is you shitting on
them? Yeah, they are.
Yeah, that's, like, the most publicity they've ever gotten.
Yeah, sorry. Like, then they're looking for PR, and they thought that the making this cup snake would give them all the positive PR, but lo and behold, they did not know that we exist as a company, and we'll come after you for that shit.
We're the gatekeepers of cup snakes. But
not only us, but World Hockey Report, who also has, you know, 20-plus thousand followers, was also shitting on them, saying they do not have many followers, so they were getting ratioed pretty hard every tweet.
Yeah, we said, hold this L, hold this ratio, bro. Mm-hmm. That's what all the kids on Twitter say.
Yeah.
So we're going to be breaking the world record this Saturday at the Saints game. Get your tickets now. You go to saintsgroups.com. I know, like, on TikTok, it's in the link in our bio, Twitter, pinned tweet, Instagram, link in bio, and you just do password cupsnake, that's lowercase cupsnake, and buy your tickets. You can actually pick where you want to sit. I know there's still some seats available, so, you know, there's no such thing as a group too big for this, because we gotta break that shit.
And I know if I have been an opponent, I should say, of going to games by yourself, but if you don't feel ashamed to buy a ticket if you think you're going by yourself as of right now because you're afraid of what I'm going to think of you. No, you're going together. You're going with the 10K family.
Well, I think we've sold over like 120 tickets alone in our section already, and there's still, you know, a ways before the game, right? So I think by the time game time comes around, there's going to be a lot of people there. And so you're not actually going to be going alone.
No, you're not.
There's already 100, you're going to be 100 plus people there who you're going to be best friends with.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, looking at the map right now, row 2, seat number 8. Is a gem sitting. It's by itself.
It
so if you are a solo person, you get a second row ticket, right in the middle. So that's actually a great spot to sit. We sat in that section the last time we were at the Saints game, and it was pretty electric. So once again, saintsgroups.com, password cupsnake in all lowercase letters. Get your tickets. $22 plus gets you a free drink. First drink is free with the ticket. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute fucking steal. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna have a blast. So we'll see you there on this episode of It's a Bit. Just the boys this week. We got the bit of the week, and I'll tell you now, looking at the list, there's going to be some interesting ones. Then we're going to do buy or sell, so we're going to name a famous person, place, thing, and say whether we'd buy or sell them if they were a stock. We're going to end the show with ranking our favorite video games, a very controversial segment that will become. Jake apparently, in his free time today, listed 50 video games, so he's got quite a lot of options on the board, but all that and more on It's a Bit.
This is the It's Bit podcast, presented by 10,000 Takes.
Burgeoning empire called 10,000 Takes.
This is the It's a Bit podcast featuring boss man, Wags, and journalist Jake.
Journalist Jake's a bitch, motherfucker.
Hey, you know those guys that do 10,000 Takes? They do some funny bits, right?
They're good. They're funny dudes. Yeah. 10,000 Takes.
You're hanging with the number one podcast in the Twin Cities. It's a Bit with 10,000 Takes. Last
name ever. All right, welcome back to It's a Bit, presented by 10,000 Takes. I'm your host, Boss Man, joined by journalist Jake and Wags. Before we get started with Bit of the Week, we have smelling salts.
Oh,
so
gosh.
Jake, you want to start us off?
I forgot we had these. I thought I was going to die.
We did one of these on the golf course on Sunday.
All right. I was good knowing you. Well, no, good knowing you. All
right. By the way, if you were to die right now, you fucked up your speech.
It was nice knowing you.
Your final words are going to be known as a stutter, which means you were an
you filthy animal.
Failure as a human being.
Well, hey, how did that go? You guys golfed? Oh, gosh, Jake. Just,
you know,
you guys, so, Jake, you had to golf fresh. With Tanner Morgan. How was that? Your dream come true?
Yeah, pants were tight the whole time, but and I gotta say, Tanner Morgan was great. Mariano Sari Morin, the linebacker, is also a character as well. So it was just an absolute blast golfing with them both, and it was fun. Getting a little competitive with some Gophers.
I can feel a pulse coming from my nose.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like there's a little bug in there.
These are pellets.
What it feels like to be a drug addict.
Woo! I've never done like the pellet form of this, and it is so much stronger than when you snap the whatever it is.
We are,
like,
by the way, not a sponsor of the show, but Westside Barbell Smelling Salts. We are going to be regularly purchasing these from Amazon from here on out.
We got
to
go lift weights now.
These were
now.
The strongest ones I could find, and they did not disappoint.
As long as we keep them off campus.
Right,
yeah,
off campus.
Off campus, yeah, whatever. Joke. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, let's get into bit of the week now that we're all smelling salted up. Start with you, Wags. What do you got?
So I was in Nashville over the weekend. You guys would fucking love Broadway, the main street there. Drink prices just like Vegas, by the way. Holy shit.
Rough.
Yeah. It was, we were with another couple, and the male was like, I'm going to go buy you guys shots. So he bought a shot. So then I was like, I'm going to buy you guys shots. So I bought them shots, and then we get the bill, and every shot was $15.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like a
$45
shot.
For a shot.
Yeah, it was like
buy.
It was just Fireball.
Oh no,
it was just ridiculous.
Get you a couple handles back in Minnesota.
That's the first mistake. You went with Fireball.
Jake, shut the fuck
up. Jake, you would have gone with like a lemon drop or something.
I probably would have. I salivate and gag. I drank a couple Fireballs this weekend on the golf course. I literally had to step aside and spit.
I was proud of you though. You never turned it down.
I didn't, except for the second or third pull that you wanted to do, but I still did it. It's gross.
Seven tequila shots were bought in at one point. That was $107. You would think like 70. When you get seven shots, you're prepared to pay like 70, you know, I guess, but wow, 107 for seven or 110 or whatever it was. Absolutely ridiculous. But we are at this place, doing those very, very expensive shots. And it's like the bridal capital of the world. Everywhere you look, there's a fucking bridal party, and they're taking party buses, and they're having a great time. Well, this one open party bus this drives right by, and there's a bunch of girls just dancing, having the time of her life. All of a sudden, this one girl turns. She's wearing a mesh dress, so you can see, essentially, she's just wearing like a bikini under it, and she starts shaking her ass, and in between her ass cheeks, it's a glowing fucking butt plug.
Oh.
And everyone's and they're pointing to it, and it was wild. I've never seen anything like that. People just laughed like it was normal, and everyone's having a great time. There's sex acts getting committed right there on Broadway.
I am at a loss of words. That's strange. That would be strange for Minneapolis, and we see some weird shit out there. But like that is it, that. So that's probably normal behavior out there.
100%
way people are acting. Okay.
And a similar question I had for you about your trip to Nashville was that you who posted the bathroom wall that says,
"Oh yeah,
send pictures of your shit to this number."
Dude, the bathroom graffiti there is absolutely hilarious. There was a lot more than just send shit to this number. You know, send your dick to this number. There's a lot more than that. I went with the more classy one, which was what I thought was show your shit.
So it's a lot of people just doxing their friends.
Oh, 100%. The funny thing was about that show your shit picture, there was like three numbers written and two of them were crossing out, so people just kept crossing out the numbers and writing fresh numbers on there.
Oh man, the amount of like shit pics those people have gotten because so many people are walking in there hammered, and if they got to take a shit, that's what they're gonna do.
I also noticed when you tweeted that photo, it did kind of well on Twitter, and then people started responding to the tweet with pictures of their shit.
I wasn't expecting that at all.
Welcome to the internet.
I tweeted the photo with the caption like, "Should I do it?" Like I thought it was a total joke, and a bunch of guys were like, "I'll do it for you. You send this number." Oh my god!
Matthew, why do you have a picture of your dump on your phone? Just ready at the ready. That's so weird.
Shout out though, that was massive. That church you saw,
like
that
3 feet.
It was disgusting and massive, and it made me want to vomit, but it was impressive.
It was, yeah, it was just, it wasn't, maybe not as disgusting as the shit pic Bubba sent me last year in Vegas.
Oh my God.
Oh, it was disgusting. I couldn't imagine. I got
anytime,
one.
Anytime he's in the state of Nevada, he just has the audacity to send the most heinous photos of himself to his loved ones.
Well, you can be anybody who you want to be, apparently, when you're in the city limits of Vegas. That's what he says. So.
Apparently.
As long as you pay the extra fee.
As long as you pay the extra fee.
The extra Vegas fee
at
Denny's.
Dude, the crazy thing about Nashville, though, is like these bars will be like three or four stories. Every single story, like you know, level one, level two, level three, they all feel like a different bar because there's a different band playing on each level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I've heard, like that's the multi-story setup. That's nuts.
Gosh, yeah, I got to get down to Smashville.
Smashville. Yeah, they have signs like that everywhere. Huge Predators fans down there. Did you know
that?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Like, they like it. Yeah. They love it. They want some more of it.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I've heard they want some more of it.
Oh, gosh. They
want some more first-round bounces.
Just like the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah. Oh, true.
Oh, gosh. Oh, now we're sad.
Oh, dang it. Sad boy. All right, Journalist Jake, what's your bit?
Mine is the lap bit, the notorious lap bit. And this is in reference to a bar. And I have particularly done this in the past where let's take a lap. But I'll do it in the sense of back when I first turned 21, went to a couple local bars, and we'll do it in the sense of trying to walk around to see if there's anybody I know. Or like, let's see if we know anybody here. You're a little drunk, you're a little buzzed. You're like, okay, let's walk around. Now the juices are flowing a little bit. You're less nervous. You're more apt to talk to people. So let's take a lap. Let's walk around and see if there's anybody you know. But particularly, there's a person we know who shall not be named, that whenever I go to the bar with him, he's like, Jake, let's take a lap. And he does it from the perspective of wanting to look for the local talent, I should say, or to the layperson, you know, beautiful women that are in the bar, and we'll take a lap, and it's very weird. He'll initiate the lap, and he won't talk to any women. He'll just kind of look around and be like, oh yeah, that girl over there's it's pretty hot. Okay, we're gonna
that's how talk to her. Davis and Butthead would do.
Yeah,
you don't have to walk around to look at people.
Yeah, you can sit there and people watch. Or if you are, you know, you want to go there and find an attractive woman, you don't have to walk around the bar. Very weird, but it is called, in what some people call, the lap. And we have someone who does that. Not myself personally, but I'll be kind of initiated to do so when I go to the bar with this particular person. Let's do a lap.
Well, I consider you a lap guy, Jake.
A lap guy?
Yeah, where you just are like, you just get a little bit of alcohol in you, yeah, and you're like, I'm going to start just talking to random fucking people around the bar.
Yeah,
right, you literally
right.
do that.
No, for sure. Like,
this is, I think he's talking about, though, a lap from more of like
for a talent,
like a creepy
okay.
third-party perspective.
I suppose.
So, no, I definitely
Jake
do the lap.
Jake initiates conversation within the lap.
Yeah, so I'll do a lap in sense of like I'll see if there's someone in general that I know, or you know, or try to see if someone's wearing a Gopher shirt. Be like, dude, I love the Gophers, or if someone likes the band Basement or something like that.
So did we do an lap and we saw Annie Agar in Vegas? Did we do a quick lap?
I think we did a quick lap.
But okay. But you did spot her, though, from across the
pool. It was an intentional lap.
It was an intentional lap. Yeah.
It was an intentional lap.
You had to go around the whole pool to make it look more natural. Like, oh, yes. We just ran into her.
Oh,
like,
oh wow. Was, oh,
it
wasn't,
hey, Annie,
it wasn't
oh.
like she saw you stare her down from across the pool and you just never like lost her look and
like,
you're just staring.
We're just walking through. Are you Annie Agar?
Right.
Awesome. But no, there is the lap bit with, you know, let's take a lap to see what... See what women are in here. See, like, more from a creepy perspective side of things that I don't normally partake in. That's a little weird, but some people do that. You know, it to me, it's a little weird because I don't go to the bar with the 100% purpose of I'm going to pick up women tonight. And there's some people that are like, let's do a lap and see what talent we're working with here. I'm like, that's a little weird. I don't do that, but it's the lap bit. It's the notorious lap bit at bars. People do that.
Jake, you walked up to a girl and said, you look grunge. That's a weird thing to do.
That was very weird, but I was not doing a lap. She was just so happened to be next to me. This was at Blarney at the University of Minnesota. And I said, she looks grunge. And I was very drunk, but I mean, she was right next to me and she looked grunge.
See, she liked it, but it would have been hilarious. A few girls out there would have definitely taken that as an insult.
Yeah, or had no idea what that word means.
What?
At all. But
I didn't know what that word meant.
Who's Nirvana?
Time.
Grunge? Nirvana. Who's Nirvana? Like, oh my gosh. But she was probably one of those Nirvana people who just knows smells like Teen Spirit, which would piss me off. But, no, but it's weird when like there's this people do when I feel like I'm doing the lap and it's initiated to solely like look for women around the bar. It's just I feel just seeing I think of that creepy dude who, you know, Andy like producer Andy like walking around with their hands in their pockets, just kind of looking around
like a predator,
like a serial killer.
You know,
yes,
it's crazy.
It's weird.
I had a dream that we were filming this show last night and producer Andy was producing again and all felt hilarious in the world because it was like it was a 10-second dream of just you and him going at it, and I was like, okay, this is like a good memory I can like think back to when I'm having a bad day.
It was fun to have Andy be the producer, but you guys used to get Jake and Andy would get in 30-minute fights and just derail podcasts.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, they were well worth fights because he needed to be.
How was that weird?
Place. How was that weird? How was that weird?
All right, my bit is the porn guy bit. So this is one that we've used off camera, off scene for a while, and I just thought no one had ever brought it to light. It's a hilarious persona, not necessarily a single individual, but everyone kind of knows a person or a few people in their life who you look at them and you're like, that's a porn guy. Like that's a guy That's a guy who spends a lot of his free time just watching porn. He's got all the categories down. He knows all everyone involved. He probably knows some producers. He knows who won all the awards at the 2018 AVNs.
The studios.
Yeah, he knows all the locations. He's just a porn guy. And I don't really know how to describe, you know, there's a few porn guys that come to mind, like just general personas, and I don't even know like how to describe them. It's just, there's just these porn guys.
Well, it's funny, like porn guys and Android guys kind of go hand in hand.
Yep,
like
if you have an Android, porn guys are Android
guys. You're automatically a porn guy.
You might, yeah, your chances of being a porn guy go up.
Well, it's not even like, because I owned Android for a while, so I guess maybe I was a porn guy. But I mean, like, I didn't care that I necessarily had an Android. It was just the phone I had. But there's the Android guys that will die on the hill of, no, I fucking love my Android.
And those are guys who just watch aggressive amounts of pornography.
And these porn guys, it's hard to put your finger on it. There is a look you can just kind of tell, but it's they almost don't even just watch porn for the sexual pleasure. They watch it almost for the entertainment, like it's cinema or a movie.
Like it's their job.
Yes.
Like they're like, all right, back in the coal mines I go as they take a bathroom break to go watch 4 more hours of porn.
There are people who have Kentucky Derby parties, NFL draft parties, you know, Super Bowl parties, you know, Oscars parties, Grammys parties. They probably have AVN parties where they invite all the porn guys over and watch who wins certain awards. I don't want to actually be in that house when that happens.
You kind of want to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
I don't want to be there the whole time, but I just want to like pretend like I don't exist and just observe how these people discuss porn without trying to laugh.
God. Oh yeah, she had a great scene. Yeah, I don't know why she didn't win. I thought she had the blah, blah, blah. It's like
best double penetration.
You know, that was the best role play. She really got into that character really well. I did not. I thought she was a real nurse.
It reminds me of, like, I got that reference from back when Dave Portnoy went to the AVNs and, like, he like interviewed some chick and he goes, how do you feel after you just won best double penetration? And this girl gives, like, a serious, like, media, very friendly analysis of, like, how happy she is, who she has to thank. And I'm like, this just exists.
It's out there.
Porn guys just live amongst us. You never really know. You can have a pretty good guess at who they are, but you know they kind of live in the shadows. If you saw their credit card statements, you definitely know who they are because they got all the memberships.
Kind of going along with the bit would be the porn phone bit. like I remember when I was 13, someone left a phone in the hockey locker room, right? And we're all there, and someone's like, "Oh, free fucking phone!" And they grab it. The first thing you do when you find a phone is I'm gonna go check the history. Nothing but like you porn hub. And he's like, "Oh, porn phone." He just slowly put it back.
Yep.
We found it.
Yep. Wash your hands a couple times. Yeah. Sing the ABCs.
It's bold. You have an unlocked phone, plus you don't delete your history.
Yeah, that's quite a call right there.
I don't understand how you don't delete your history. I mean, that's just space at that's smart for space in general.
Right. And an Android guy would know that best because he cares about his CPU usage.
Yes,
his
he does. CPU usage and so his processing can work best for his beautiful camera.
And his battery. Right. Yes. Right. All right, folks. Well, that was Bit of the Week. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Buy or Sell. Hey guys, It's a Bit is presented by the Better Edge app. If you don't know what Better Edge is, it's a legal online sports betting marketplace that allows you to post and engage with other sports betting fans, place no commission positions in an online marketplace, so all the money goes back to the winner, not to a sports book. You can compete in direct head-to-head challenges with horrible bettors like me. I went 1-4 yesterday. People might not want to take my advice anymore. I think Fade Boss Man made a slight comeback yesterday. Tonight's Tuesday night. I'm hoping to bounce back. You can also compete in public or private betting competitions. I know we're going to be creating some more within 10K that can give some merch and possibly some money to the winner. And you can buy or sell positions such as spread over under money line at current market prices. All you got to do is use your promo code 10K at betteredge.com when you sign up to get a free $20 and verify your ID. Once again, that's promo code 10K at betteredge.com when you sign up and verify your ID. Give us a follow on there. Give us a shout and start betting today. All right. Welcome back to It's a Bit. We just went through our bits of the week and now we're going to move to buy or sell. We haven't done this one in a while, but I'm going to name a famous person, place, thing. You know, it could be a sports, pop culture person, anyone in the news, you know, a place, a season even. You guys say whether you'd buy or sell it like it was a stock on the market. Let's start with our boy Evander Kane. I'm actually wearing, if you're watching the YouTube version, by the way, the full podcast is on YouTube if you search 10,000 takes. But I got the fuck Evander Kane shirt with Ryan Hartman. Thanks to Chief at Barstool Sports. And all the money went to Children's. I think we raised $65,000 just through the Barstool shirt. So I always love wearing this. I always love hating on Evander Kane. But I'll start with you, Jake. What do you get? You get buy or sell, Mr. Kane?
Ooh, Evander Kane, he scored three goals the other night for
natural hat trick.
Yeah, yes.
And keep in mind, he's talking about Sunday. I know that there will be a game that airs tonight, but we're recording this on Tuesday.
Right.
So if he lays a goose egg,
then it's on me, depending on my answer.
Right.
I'm going to buy Evander Kane. Evander, first off, that's a badass name, Evander. I mean, that's amazing. He's kind of an asshole in the league, but the league needs people like that. I think without him, you wouldn't have had an awesome shirt like this, and our shirt as well, and an awesome scene like that with Ryan Hartman flipping him off. You would have never have had that if you didn't have a character like Evander Kane in the NHL. You need a guy that's rowdy, but can also give your team a spark when you need it, like he's been doing for Edmonton. And I'm buying Evander Kane.
I have like the complete opposite logic than you, because if someone flicks you off, and then so many people are so happy that they donate $120,000 to charity because you got flicked off, you're probably not a very good person.
Right. But without that, without a person like that in the league, that someone to hate, which the game is about, getting
chippy.
There's
plenty of people to hate in the league.
Right. But you need players like that in the NHL, I feel like. And without him, you wouldn't have $120,000 to charity.
I think Kane is just another example of an athlete can be an asshole, but as long as they're still pretty good at the sport, no one cares because they're good at the sport.
Exactly.
So sell him. Get him out of here. I don't need to see him.
Sell him.
So from a financial perspective, I'm going to buy him as well because he's bankrupt, so he can only his price is not very high. But no, I kind of agree with Jake, though. You need some characters. It kind of adds to the drama. The NBA has their fair share of characters. It adds to some fun storylines. I think that's kind of what I like about Evander Kane, is he's a piece of shit, and he gives us someone to hate on, because hockey players sometimes are just boring-ass people who, they wake up in the morning, they do their routine, they go to bed at night, and whatever. Like, you get NFL and NBA where someone's getting arrested every day. It keeps life interesting. Kane is that guy. But he did unintentionally raise like $100,000 for charity just by being a douchebag. So I don't stand by some of the things he's been accused of doing,
like abandoning his family.
Yeah, no, he's a horrible guy. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying from a league perspective, it's good to have people that someone hates, because then it adds a little bit of color to the game and to the storylines.
Disagree. Plenty of people to hate in the league.
Okay. But you need a lot of people to hate in the league. You can't just have one.
I just every single playoff game you watch, there is like fists flying every 4 minutes. Like, you don't need people to hate. People to hate disappear every single game.
Yeah, but do you have someone as bad as this to flip him off?
Brad Marchand, who is not one to flick Lucic, who is not one to flick Lucic off. Gosh, that's hard to say. Flick Lucic off.
Lucic. Flip Lucic off.
I did this morning on the Boss Man Bets. Try saying Shesterkin five times fast.
Shesterkin, 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 Shesterkin.
Pretty tough.
Just jerkin.
Just jerkin.
Beef jerky. Beef jerky. That's what I get to.
There you go.
My conclusion.
What is it? Does he have a nickname? You'd think he would.
Shesterkin? Shesterkin?
You guys ever seen Family Guy when they make fun of the Swedish bakery guy? He's like, I got cock all over my hands. I feel like every time I say Shesterkin, I'm like that guy. Like
Shesterkin.
Yeah.
Cock.
He's Russian, isn't he?
No. Is he?
Who is Shesterkin?
Is his name Igor? Igor Shesterkin?
Igor Shesterkin. Igor Shesterkin.
That's a very Russian name.
Igor.
But yeah, I just feel like that guy in Family Guy. If you understand
from Moscow.
Swedish bakery, the Swedish bakery reference. Oh, Shesterkin.
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 Doesn't make sense. It's but like, all right.
Victor Duncan.
Anyways, let's move on next. So buy or sell, we got CBD. Jake, you buy or sell CBD.
It depends on how high I want to get. If I'm going to buy, I don't know. I'm actually going to sell CBD.
Oh,
because CBD is going to be on the, the downswing when it gets legalized in more states, especially in Minnesota. But until then, I'll get high off of it.
Wait, you mean when weed is legalized? You said when CBD is legalized in more states.
Well, I meant weed legalized in more states, if I said that. My bad. When weed is legalized in more states, and hopefully Minnesota here was very close this past year, but it's obvious I'm not going to buy into that stock when the devil's lettuce is on the uprise here. But see, until then, I'll still get high off of it when I can, but I got to wean off of it because weed is probably going to be legalized. So I'm selling it.
Dude. I have a shout out to Cultivated CBD though. Actually, I still have a bunch of stuff that they gave us for free at the golf tournament. So my like my wrist was sore. I think I hit like a really chunky shot on the golf course and it hurt the next day. And I threw that cultivated CBD stuff all over it. It felt better. And I just thought, man, if I was Jake right now, I'd be on the clouds.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, you would be. It'd
you
be
had,
like
the balm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Or like the kind of the icy hot equivalent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit works wonders, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
All jokes aside with Jake, but mm-hmm. I just thought, man, if Jake wouldn't even be able to operate a vehicle right now if he threw this.
No, that'd make my arm numb. I'd be like, I'll be like, dude, bro, it feels like my arm is floating into the parallel universe, man.
By the way, when Minnesota does decide to be cool and legalize weed, I really hope it's on a Tuesday so we can be the first ones to do a legally chopped podcast in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, no.
Unless we all had medical marijuana cards, I guess we could have done that.
Dude, that means when the day sports betting is legalized in Minnesota, we have to be doing a podcast live from a sports book.
Dude, okay, so I know, I know that both in Minnesota, like, weed and sports betting are close. Sports betting didn't quite hit the mark. What if they got legalized on the same day next year?
It'd be like, yeah,
a bunch of high people at a sports
book. Degenerates.
That'd be
car accidents. People on the way down to Mystic. There'd be so many car accidents.
Stay off the weed.
I'm on a. Just like last time, I have the opposite perspective than Jake. We just failed in Minnesota, which means we have another year of, like, you know, besides Delta 8, CBD being the next, you know, great alternative. So we have at least another year of that. So you might as well get in on the market. Plus, like, you will attest to, Jake, you get high as fuck when you take anything CBD related. It works, especially from cultivated CBD. Mm-hmm. Now, there is an issue because there are a lot of snake oil salesmen out there who are selling you fake CBD, and that gives it a bad rep. But overall, I'm definitely buying CBD. Because guess what? Even when weed gets legal, CBD is still going to be great for pain and inflammation and all that other stuff that it's getting prescribed for today.
I'll just stick with I'm going to buy into kratom.
Kratom.
I'm about to say crack.
No. I mean, maybe I'll buy into that too, man.
I allegedly smoked crack with the fine homeless residents of St. Paul in the Wild Lost Game 6.
Understandable, though. Yeah.
That's the night to smoke crack.
Dude, Jake and I were in a band, and the lead singer drank a bunch of kratom right before, and I've never seen someone so high out of their mind. It was crazy. And that's legal. You can just go to a tea store and buy kratom and put it in a tea and
just
drink it.
Well, you can also buy that Delta 8 stuff. I remember producer Cam was like, dude, I bought Delta 8 this weekend. I didn't leave the fucking couch. I was so gone. I was like,
There was dispensaries all over Nashville, and it's, you know, illegal there, so all it was Delta 8.
Yeah.
You know, they called it dispensaries.
Delta 8 dispensaries. Why don't we have at least Delta 8 dispensaries here?
I don't know, Jake.
We do?
An opportunity for
you.
I don't think they don't call themselves Delta 8 dispensaries, but you can just go to a tea store.
Oh, right. Tea store. Cigar shop.
Tea bags,
whatever.
I always love when you go to like a tobacco store and they just have a bunch of bongs. They're like, yeah, well, these are in case you want to put tobacco. And I was like, okay, dude, I can't wait to go home and smoke my tobacco out of my water bong.
Well, yeah, right.
AJ, in the 10,000 stakes video, you know, he posted him smoking a bong, which was definitely tobacco.
Yeah, correct.
Totally.
Yeah. Correct. And that's not why the video didn't get taken down from TikTok. It wasn't because it wasn't because he was smoking tobacco out of a bong.
Yeah, we definitely should not post that on TikTok.
So that was
fun. I mean, but that's bullshit. I mean, it's clearly legal.
Down there.
It's clearly legal. He's smoking a bong that he legally bought and legally purchased with some tobacco.
Well, and remember, too, that TikTok is the same platform that showed me a Ukrainian soldier blowing up a Russian tank with an RPG. So remember when we did toy guns and ketchup? The ooh, what you say?
Hey.
But I literally watched six Russians die in like 10 seconds. Fucking incredible.
Or like full out, you know,
AC-130s, like live streams of them just lighting up actual human beings.
Yeah.
Seen those on TikTok.
I've seen full on like fights where people are like getting brutally punched in the face, blood everywhere.
ESPN
and then,
posts them.
Yes. And then we have a little toy gun with some ketchup that's clearly ketchup.
If we post a hockey fight, we get taken down, right?
It's such like bullshit.
It's privilege or some shit. I don't know, man. I don't know. Who do we got to pay the Chinese government? I don't know.
Yeah, someone. Back to CBD.
Bullshit.
I'm going to buy CBD, specifically, like I said, because it has gotten me through some, let's just say, very non-athletic injuries, you know, where I'm a golfer. I just, you know, take one big swing at it, and next thing I know, my back is sore. So you got to have, I've got the cultivated CBD balm in the bag. Like I said, my wrist hurt. I was able to throw it on that. That bitch was ready to go the next day. And, I'm a big supporter. Well, like I said, I'm not a very athletic guy, so when I try to do athletic stuff, I end up pretty sore. And CBD has gotten me recovered faster. That almost sounded like an ad read, but it wasn't.
Did, yeah.
I'm not getting paid. I just this shit actually works. I'm just testifying.
Yeah, as long as you're with a legitimate company and cultivated CBD, like that's the best one I've had compared to like, when you just go and buy a random one, because you just don't know where you're getting that from.
Right.
Well,
right.
It's legitimate. It's a legitimate CBD. It's good. Good ingredients. Good product. I know.
Can't take it seriously.
Getting clipped on the golf course is a great thing, my friend.
It's a great product.
Great product. Beautiful.
Getting twisted on hole 17 with it is a good call.
Yes.
Dude, you just ate the two gummies of CBD and like literally a hole later, he's like, guys, I'm high as fuck.
We're like, no, you're not. No, you're not.
Oh. I felt high.
Okay.
I was high.
Okay.
All
right. Oh. Let's move on to sports. We're still doing buy or sell. We got trading Kevin Fiala. He posted on Instagram a picture that said, "Thank you, Minnesota." Changed the profile picture, ironically enough, from him in a Wild jersey to that one where he was just shirtless with the shoulder pads that I've seen Smoke Z tweet out. Like.
Great photo.
Yeah.
I think we had written a blog a couple years ago on that, actually, or when that came out, like Kevin Fiala is a beautiful man or something like that, or he's the sexiest man alive.
But just based on, now we're not Wild journalists. I don't want Billy G calling us out.
We aren't.
Like
damn it.
He said on KFan, but. In your guys' opinion, if we were to trade Kevin Fiala, you buy or sell that move?
Jake first.
It's tough, man. It's tough because I love Kevin. Okay, he's a good Swiss guy, I believe. He's a Switzerland guy. Man, it's tough, man. I love Kevin Fiala. I think money like aside, I would have to sell that position because I think he is a solid player to build the team around. He's the best-looking guy on the team. I don't know. You got to have a guy like that on the team. He has a smoke show for a fiance as well. You need guys like that on the team. You just need him there. And he produces great plays. He gets pucks in deep. He wins races to the puck. And I'm going to sell that. I'm going to sell that idea. I like Kevin. Kevin's a good guy.
Even though it's inevitably like a bad investment because he's going to get traded because we can't afford him.
Well, wait. Aren't we buying or selling the idea of trading him?
Yeah,
well, I'm just selling the idea of trading him.
Okay,
I'm gonna buy the idea.
Yeah, I don't think Jake.
I'm gonna buy the idea of trading Kevin Fiala. There's two reasons. One, and I think it just sucks, but like it's like who have you been recently? And the last thing we saw of Kevin Fiala was that playoff run where he did not show up for it all. Mm-hmm. And this is the only time we need him to show up for. Right at the end of the year, he was killing it. I thought for sure that he was going to be an X factor in the series, and he didn't do shit. On top of that, just like Jack said, unless Kevin Fiala is willing to take a big pay cut. It's not going to work with his team with the buyouts of Parise and Suter's concerts of contracts. So, yeah, I'm definitely buying the idea of trading Kevin Fiala, especially because I definitely think we get something amazing in return for Fiala and really help this team out. So,
I guess, like, I'm not changing my, like, view. I mean, maybe I should, but, like, this would be different from past teams because like usually we'd be like, oh, let's just keep them, let's make it work, like Zach Parise and Ryan Suter and the whole crew of the early 2010s to the late 2010s that lost every first round fucking series. This would be the same thing, like, oh, let's keep Kevin because he's an okay player. No, if it didn't work out, Bill Guerin should probably just get rid of him. Okay, let's move on to something new, see if it works, and not stick with the same thing that probably won't work out for the next 5 years. Bullshit. But I don't know, I like Kevin.
Yeah, you know, I hate to say it, I gotta buy the idea of it just because he. Unfortunately, this isn't the Yankees, and money is an object around Minnesota.
Well, we got a salary cap.
Jake,
too.
Would you let me talk?
Well,
what?
We don't have the option to give as much money as we want anyway because there's a salary cap.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
money.
The
is
Yankees
money.
Don't have a salary cap.
That's right. What he said. He said this isn't the Yankees.
Congrats, you understand.
This is the MLB then.
Jesus.
Oh,
what has happened, Jake? You might need to just take a walk, take a lap.
I'm not doing a lap
around the house and just restart the brain.
Yes,
but no, I mean it sucks. Obviously, Fiala's an absolute beauty. He had a great regular season, but I do have to agree with Wags. The tough conversation to have. You got to have a guy who can play in the playoffs and score goals. You count on him to score goals all year. He doesn't score in the playoffs. I don't know. Pretty easy decision to me. Just for the money, obviously the money's going to be an issue unless Billy, you know, Billy is kind of a magician when it comes to money. He might find a way to figure it out.
Will he?
He might.
Oh.
He might find a way to figure it out. But if he doesn't, unfortunately, you got to trade him and see what you get for him.
Yeah, it's But then there was some other, but including Kevin Fiala, though, there were other guys that didn't even really show up either, which sucks. But like, he was the guy that we expected to show up, and he didn't.
Victor Rask physically did not show up.
No,
he's not on the team anymore.
It's done. And then you have Nino Niederreiter, you know, in a practically almost in a conference final. And look at that shit.
I'm happy for Nino, though. I've never been upset with him.
No, it's not his fault that Paul Fenton fucked up.
Is it true that Kevin Fiala is most likely looking at would be going to the Devils? Is that like the projection where he'd land? I've seen that thrown around a lot.
Yeah, because I heard that they're willing to give up their first round pick. Would that be the second overall pick?
The Devils? It has to be because they're terrible.
They were fucking awful.
They've been bad the last few years. Mm-hmm. I think they had the top pick a few years ago. They got one of the top players, and they still haven't done shit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just crazy. I mean, I hope we can find
Devils number two pick.
Oh, so wow.
That'd be awesome to get the number two overall pick.
Would they offer that much for him?
So before before there was the lottery, the talks were Kevin Fiala for whatever first round.
I remember when that discussion was like circling around, like Kevin Fiala might be gone. It's like, what?
What? And here's the thing. I was like, he might be gone. Like, we don't have to worry about that forever. And then we just lose in six games. And then it's like,
okay, well, now we can address that because it went by really fast.
Well, yeah, everybody kept bringing that shit up, like, a month or two ago.
It was so bad.
Kevin is, what are we going to do with him in the offseason? It doesn't fucking matter because he's still under contract. The season is still going. He's under contract right now, still technically. Let's see this season through, okay? And then we'll talk about it after the season's over, which we're here now, so finally we can talk about it. Okay?
Right.
Damn it.
Let's move right along. I added this one, pregnant women.
We're going to get canceled for this?
No, I saw a gorgeous woman at Target the other day who was pregnant, and I want to know your guys' honest opinion on pregnant women.
You have a little pregnant fetish?
I don't know.
So if I sell, this is a strange one to be added to the list.
It was, but it was an instinct.
It makes for a good conversation, Jake.
What about unpregnant women?
Nope.
So we're talking about women carrying a child.
I'm going to buy pregnant woman.
You're going to buy one? Wow.
I'm going to buy... Oh, what? Damn it. Canceled. Yeah. I'm canceled either way, no matter what answer I give here. But, you know, they're the bearers of life. They're bearing a child. You know, God bless them for going through, you know, 9 months of carrying a child. While all the male has to do is pump one in them.
What are you talking? I carry children around my whole life.
Well, to that weight, I don't know. We do have to carry children around all the time. You are right about that.
Millions or billions of even.
Yeah, you know what?
Think about
it. You convinced me. Pregnant women have nothing on men. No, I'm just joking. That's a joke.
I'm going to tweet it out.
It's a joke, okay? It's a joke. But no, I'm going to buy pregnant women because without them, I would not be here right now.
Correct. That's a good take.
I'll buy it for the same exact answer. Yeah.
Damn straight.
Mm-hmm. I'm just so glad that we're not the ones who have to carry it for 9 months and then pop it out of our booty holes.
Yeah, right. Is that where you think they're from?
That's where babies come from.
That's where they come from.
I'm pretty sure.
Correct.
I thought we got babies from Walmart.
To my knowledge, it came out the mouth.
Oh. I didn't know. I thought they came out of the belly button. That's what it's for. Right?
No, I mean, maybe. I added
conspiracy.
I grew up with a guy from high school who did actually have a fetish for pregnant women.
Ooh.
He would always be like, dude, look at this. And they'd always be pregnant.
Have you ever seen the movie Her?
No.
Is that with Joaquin Phoenix?
I think
he falls in love with his cell phone?
Computer?
Yeah, whatever. Right? And there's nothing but just like sex with pregnant women in that one. I think he has that fetish.
People into that.
Yeah.
No, for sure. And I'm not buying that because I have a fetish for pregnant porn or anything.
See, that circles full back to the porn guy.
Yeah, so it's the porn guy would look at it from the perspective of this is totally a porn category right now.
Correct.
I did not view it like that on the list. I viewed it as general pregnant women and bearing a child. I'm buying it for non-porn reasons, but there'll be people out there that will buy it for porn reasons, and that's okay.
Yeah, I have to buy it as well, just because, like you said, I wouldn't be here without it, and I feel like just with how much I can take, I couldn't even do 1% of what a mother does, so shout out to moms everywhere.
Yep.
All right, moving down the list, last one, we got chilly spring days, so like we had a kind of a cold stretch this weekend, and it was a little windy, a little cold. I'm not necessarily just saying like freezing days, but I'm saying like a day in the 60s, in the low 60s, in spring or even the summer if you get lucky. How do you guys feel about that? Are you warm weather guys, or do you appreciate a little breeze? Journalist Jake.
Ooh, man. I don't know, because there's some points in the summer and early spring where you're sick of that shit. You know, you're done with the winter. But you know what? I'm going to buy it because they don't come very often, and I am a genuinely a hotter person that likes the coolness. So I'm going to buy them because once in a while it's happy, because I just automatically think back to the days of dog days of summer when it's July or August when we're sitting in a hot box in Minnesota and humidity sticky. You know, you go outside right away, sticky, you know, you get sticky and it's just, it's gross and disgusting and it feels weird. I'd rather have a cool day like that. So I'll take one of those once in a while, as long as it's not days in a row. I'm going to buy the occasional chilly spring or and or summer days.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and buy it too. Who does not love, like, a big thing about a chilly spring day, it's a good reminder that, hey, like, the shit is almost behind us, right? Mm-hmm. And so I can put up with that just because you know there's not much left. Again, you're kind of the opposite, though, when, like, in the fall when it gets way too cold before it's supposed to. That fucking sucks. But in the spring, it's all right.
Yeah, I'm going to buy as well. I'd rather be a little chilly than really hot any day of the week. I also, too, when I think of, like, a cold little chilly day, I think about fall. I'm not trying to skip over summer, but I think of like the state fair. Mm-hmm. I think of like Gopher football coming back. I think of like the NFL coming back, and like holidays and stuff. And I don't know why. I just, yeah, when I feel a little breeze in there, I just feel like, I just think of fall and everything I love about fall.
Hockey coming back. Hockey, yeah, fall is a great time.
The Wild will be, God, dude, I'm like too invested in the offseason stuff. And I'm like, it's not going to bring him back to life.
Calm down.
I'm like that family member who's going to like try to put the Wild in the pet cemetery in hopes that we can bring him back. And it's just going to end well. It's not going to end well.
Dude, you're going to, so every single day, I don't think you've done this, but this will probably be your first year you do it. The opening of NHL free agency, they just have mm-hmm. like a, they have like NHL Network completely dedicated yes. to it, like second by second news yeah. and all that. You're going to be watching that this
I already,
year.
Yeah. I subscribed to Russo like the day after we lost in game six because I was like, now I need to know everything that happens.
Stay up to
like,
the moment.
Full-blown hockey guy.
Shout out Russo, 3-year extension.
You talk about the people who are like obsessed with NFL draft parties. I actually probably look more in the past. I have, you know, I've dedicated more of my time to the NHL trade deadline day and NHL free agency day way more than NFL.
No, trade deadline days are insane.
Yes.
In every league.
Exactly.
I mean, that's something to be excited about. Draft, because in deadlines, it's like a bunch of really good proven people being traded for other good proven people. Mm-hmm. Whereas like with the draft, it's like, okay, well, this guy played at some college in Utah. Like, mm-hmm. how do we know he's going to be good? Why is this,
yeah.
why is this something I'm excited about?
But I feel like with the NHL, there's a lot more that happens on first day of deadline and first day of free agency than any other sport. That's yeah. why I think it's so fascinating. And I don't know. It's fun.
And especially after this year's NHL trade deadline for Wild fans specifically, I will never go another trade deadline without being just anxious because Billy G... Just completely revived the team with the trade deadline. So,
yeah, but did he? They lost in the first round.
Did he?
Yeah,
I mean, is he just another Chuck Fletcher? Damn it!
End the podcast.
Yeah. See, oh. that bringing in those guys did happen to snap that fun losing streak we were on for like 2 months straight.
Yeah.
So
I love how we traded for Fleury because we needed some extra goaltending help, and then Cam Talbot just for like a month and a half goes off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cameron and Talbot, an honorable buy or sell smelling salts.
Oh, yeah. The unanimous buy?
The unanimous buy-in. Buy. All for it.
Unanimous
all buying
buy.
In. If someone's selling it, you're a dumbass, okay?
Yep.
You're buying into it and do it.
Just
right. smelling salts.
Don't do it on campus.
Don't do it on campus. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with our final segment, ranking our favorite video games. I'm going to do the ad read for Vivid Seats after hitting a smelling salt. Are you looking to enjoy live sporting events? Well, if you want to chant, let's get sexy at the next game. Buy your tickets through VividSeats.com. Oh my God, I can't read.
Yes.
As official partners of Vivid Seats, new customers can get $20 off $200 or more order with Vivid Seats using promo code 10KTakes.
What a deal.
Or use the link in the episode description to help. I'm crying, dude.
You are crying.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I know, it's just such an emotional like partnership.
I'm so happy for Vivid Seats, man. I can't.
We're so thankful.
Oh.
Or use the link in the episode description to help support us when getting your tickets. And if you're at the game, and we're at the game, and you're using Vivid Seats, let us know. We'd come to say hi and buy you a beer.
We are?
we're not buying you a beer.
That's
a lot of beers.
I regretted that after saying it. But download the Vivid Seats app or visit vividseats.com to get your tickets now. Once again, if you're a new customer, you can get $20 off a $200 or more purchase using promo code 10KTakes. Or if you're just buying tickets for less than that, or you're a returning customer, use the link in the episode description to buy them to support the take. All right, let's get back to the show. That was a horrible idea, by the way, dude. I'm
great idea, though.
I don't know why I just cry. I'm crying out of one eyeball.
That's a talent, maybe.
Yeah. God, that fucking hurt.
I can cry in command, but it's only out of one eyeball.
I just need a smelling salt. But anyways, back to the show. So we got ranking the best video games. We're gonna do 1 through 5. We'll just go. Yes. We'll just go around between us three and talk about which ones we would rank where. So how do we do this? We usually start with one, right?
Yep. And we go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll start with you, Jake. What's your number one?
My number one, I'm hoping this isn't predictable.
By the way, you did actually write down 50.
I wrote down 50.
Yeah, you're a porn guy.
I'm a video game guy, maybe a porn guy.
Would it be better to work our way to one and go 5 to 1?
Yeah, that's right.
Because I did try to rank the top 5 and kind of like what I... Okay, perfect. Yeah. All right.
What's your number 5?
Number 5 is Halo 3. Slayer. Right,
Slayer.
Gain the lead. Betrayal. I love that. And I know like, okay, so... On this list of 50, I do have Halo and Halo 2 listed, but the first one I ever really got into is Halo 3 because that was the first year I got an Xbox, and it was my first time actually getting into the world of multiplayer gaming on Xbox Live, and the first time getting into a lobby. I think one of the first things I heard when I got into a lobby was a homosexual slur. So yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm here. This is 2007. Let's go. But the gaming part of it was amazing. It was fascinating. It was my first Halo game that I got fully entrenched into.
Beautiful.
It was awesome.
My number 5 is Wii Sports. It's a sports game that came with the Wii console. It's just one of the most classic games out there. For me personally, too, is always over at my grandparents' house. Whenever me and my younger brother would go over there, we'd play Wii Sports. So I have fond memories with my grandparents playing Wii Sports, kicking their ass and bowling and stuff like that.
Nice cock.
Nice cock.
Creating your own Miis or whatever. That was like the first Bitmojis, shit like that.
That was ahead of its time in a way, almost.
It was, because now you have all these fucking VR and virtual reality, but the Wii's been doing it for years, man.
Yes.
You had the Mii channel too, where you could literally talk and converse with other Miis from around the world. I like how our boy Justin Ekstrom called producer Andy a real life Wii character, which I think he meant a Mii.
Yeah,
which was fucking hilarious.
That's a great description of him.
Yeah, no, Andy, we're gonna get a text. He might quit tomorrow when this podcast releases, but that's what he said. That's the truth.
Yeah. All right, my number 5. God, the smelling salt's still hitting me. Yes. This may come high on my list for what some people would think, but there's a reason behind it. I got Modern Warfare 2. Mm. I guess the only reason I'm not going to go with a higher rank is because I was so bad at it and I got just railed by so many quickscopers. The campaign was unreal, though, because I used to be a real big campaign guy. And let's just remember that there's a single level of that called No Russian.
Yep.
And if you've never played Modern Warfare 2, this is where you just commit a mass shooting. You shoot
in an airport.
In an airport. Like the fact that back in whenever year this game came out, what was
2009?
That was just a thing we could put in video games. It's crazy.
So I downloaded just the campaign of MW2, I think, a year and a half ago.
Yes,
and
they remastered it.
Yep, yeah. And I think I remember I even talked about it. I was like, there's no way that this mission is still playable right now in 2020. And no, you can still play that mission just fine. Not if you're in Germany or in some other European countries. They have that content blocked, but in America, you can play it.
It's crazy.
I mean, I think why it's legal is because they give you the option to click yes or no to actually play through the mission to complete the game.
Yeah.
Or you don't actually have to do it. But as like a 13-year-old kid playing that, you're like, yeah. maybe I was a little more crazy with it. But like, generally, as a teenager, when it came out for us to play a level like that, as fucked up as it was, we fucking loved that.
Well, and here's the thing. If you think about it, like the FBI or whatever government agency, like putting an American to go undercover to do that shit, that's something that could totally happen in real life as well, right?
So. Especially now in what's happening with you know, Russia and Ukraine and, you know, building tension with that. I mean, shit, like, shit, I don't know. It's a very fucked up level looking in hindsight, but, you know, very emotional campaign. Insane.
It was, I mean, it was a great campaign. You had like Ghost, the character. You had General Shepard. You know, kind of the famous
Captain Price,
famous ending with the knife going through Soap. The eye. Mm-hmm. You had Soap.
Black Ops.
He was also MW.
He's MW.
Oh yeah, Soap McTavish,
crossover guy. But then
Nikolai.
Then you also had the co-op missions, which were super fun, where you could play like Big Brother, where you got one guy in the helicopter, one guy on the ground. You could basically do levels together and you'd have to complete a task in a certain amount of time. And I remember me and my buddies just staying up till 2 a.m. drinking Mountain Dew, crushing those. So
there was the snowmobile the co-op one. Right. I mean, I think there was a level like that, but they could do like a snowmobile like co-op mission.
That game was just so far ahead of its time.
Amazing.
Great game. Insane.
Oh, yes.
But, yeah, so I got number 5, Modern Warfare 2. All right, Jake, what's your number 4?
My number 4 is NCAA Football 14. Great. Has to hit the list. And I wish I could rank all the college football video games I've played, and more on the list, actually, beyond the number 5. But NCAA Football 14 was the last one that was made. It was the best one, I feel like, because it had the best graphics. It was the newest one. The college football games were fucking awesome. I mean, they just went – the recruiting system in there was almost realistic. You'd actually have to try to recruit hard to get – unless you made your recruiting difficulty rookie. I'd always make everything Heisman, and I was so fucking dedicated to it to the point where – Even if I was getting killed in a game 48-0, like I would just play through the game in my dynasty mode. Nope, I lost. I'd finish the season 3-9. I'm not going to shut off the system for this. Like, I'm legitimately doing this. I think I got to like the 25th season at one point, and the farthest I made was like 8-4 in like some, you know, mediocre bowl game.
It's pretty realistic, though.
You got to calm down.
Right, I know. Now, I did. This was back in, you know, senior year of high school into, you know, early college, but. Love the college football video games.
You're hardo when it comes to, I think, sports video games in general. You just set it to the difficulty. If you're losing by a bunch of rage quit, you finish. That's respectable in a way, but realistic. At the same time, where's the inner gamer in you?
I know, seriously. You got to turn it off and keep playing it till you win. I did that a couple of times in NHL, but then I felt guilty and actually ended up winning a cup one time. I've only won one legitimate championship on a hardest difficulty in all my video game playing career, I should say. Where I did not quit one game in a playoff series or something like that, and it was like NHL 18 a few years back. Proud of myself.
Congratulations.
Congrats on that achievement.
It's a good bit.
It reminds me of that guy who had a series, and it had like the funny narration voice on TikTok, where he's like, applying for jobs I'm horribly unqualified for. And it was the actually the Minnesota Golden Gophers offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And this guy filled out a full legitimate resume all based on NCAA 14 achievements. He had done all these things on a Heisman mode and actually like applied through Indeed with it. So that's kind of what I thought of.
I think he actually had legitimate like football knowledge and terms in there,
at least
too,
a little
impressive.
Bit more than me.
No, way more than I could do.
Hey, do you guys remember when Big Cat, he like during the pandemic, he started playing, was it NCAA 14?
Yep. Yeah.
He played it on the hardest mode. It kind of showed me though that they need to make the difficulty a little harder, because he was able to master that really quickly and win championships rather easily.
Yeah, he played as Florida State, so that's like when he went and did the spaces bit for a while, like last spring, and they were talking about Florida State, because Jackson State and who's the coach of Jackson State again?
Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders, he took the number one recruit in the country, and he went in the space, and he was like, you guys could have had him. You guys should have hired this coach, because they would have taken him in, but I know these kids. I've coached these kids. But he's just referring to the time he played college football, like the video game, so that was hilarious.
All right, Wags, what's your number 4?
Number 4 for me is going to be the Rome Total War series. I'm not sure. Do you guys ever play that?
Mm-mm. Isn't that kind of like, I mean, it's been around a long time, hasn't it?
Since the early 2000s.
Okay.
It's essentially you get to be a Roman faction and then take over the known part of Europe at the time, and it's an absolute blast to play, one of the OG games, and it still holds up to this day. They actually launched Total War remastered versions, and if you're kind of like a strategy single-player gamer like myself, like that game is so fun. You can lose hours into it, especially if you're like a history guy as well. Very, very realistic with history, and you get to create a little dynasty. It's pretty fun.
Is it similar to like a Civilization or Command and Conquer?
It's very, very similar to those games. Except for it's like Succession is like, you know, your character, you start with the main character and they keep having children and you get to keep naming your heirs. It's really cool, right?
That's
like
dope.
How you get to do that through, you know, centuries.
Fucking
this, nerd.
Dude, fuck off.
Dude, Civilization, though, dude, was fucking sick.
Dude, it was, yeah. That's Civilization sick. Command and Generals is
Command
sick.
And Conquer. Command Red and Alert.
Speaking of, sorry if this gives away anyone's, but Star Wars Battlefront 2, back on the original Xbox, you could actually do, like, the Galactic Conquest.
Yeah, that was a
blast. Dumped hours into that shit.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's a great bring up. I used to do that all the time. Yeah, but all of those kinds of games where you get to just be like a faction or something and take over the world—it's pretty fun.
Yeah, some people choose to do it in real life too.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, that's hard mode.
So, and yeah, they might have been influenced by these games, and that's why they're, well, I wouldn't say they're good at it.
You know, so. Because of Rome Total War, we got Putin trying to take over the world. Exactly. You got to ban the game.
You know, that's right. What he's been playing for the last 20 years. He's like, okay, I'm ready. I mastered the game. Let's go.
That and Risk.
Yep.
Yes. All right, number four, I got NBA Live 2005.
Ooh.
Kevin Harlan, every time he announces, I think of that game. I have it so hardwired into my brain. I played it on the original Xbox. The players in it were unreal. I mean, you had Tracy McGrady, Kevin Garnett, Chauncey Billups. You had
Stephen Marbury.
Yeah. You had Mike Bibby.
Mm-hmm. Vince Carter.
You had Jason Kidd.
Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah.
You had Michael Redd
Rick Nash.
For those Bucks fans. He was the OG guy who used to carry the Bucks. Was Michael Redd. You had it's crazy. I mean, LeBron was in it. Who am I missing? Dwayne Wade. There's just so many insane legends that were all in that game. You could always do the slam dunk contest, the All-Star Weekend. I had a blast doing that. And I kind of feel like this was in the era right before 2K took over, and in my opinion, kind of ruined the games by making them way more realistic. Where this game was so arcade, it was just it was so much fun. You'd play against my brother all the time, and the winner would have 200 some points, but I don't know.
Well, it was right before the next gen where I think EA Sports just couldn't keep up with, the 2K in the next gen.
Because NBA Live kept coming. I always thought the NBA Live's other features were always better, like the franchise mode and all the other stuff you could do, but 2K was just making it more realistic. So,
well, NBA Live had the best intro song, too. It was NBA Live 2005. I still remember that shit.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah,
I still remember, though, the first NBA Live game I got was, I remember, I borrowed my uncle's PlayStation 1 back in the day. I was 4 or 5 years old, and he gave me NBA Live 2000, and it had Kevin Garnett on the cover, and I still remember it was fun to play and stuff, but I still remember looking at the graphics, and it was really their heads were boxes, and there's no emotion. They'd be getting fouled and acting like they were pissed off, and there's just nothing on their face moving. It was just strange. But how far we've come, though, in video games.
Right. Oh, Shaq was in that game too, as well as Kobe. RIP. Great game. All right, let's move into our number threes.
Top three.
Jake, what do you got?
My number three, also from 2005, NHL 2005. It was the first NHL video game I ever got. It had the most kick-ass soundtrack. It had Take Me Out by Franz Ferdinand.
Great song.
It had Memory by Sugar Cult. How does that go again? Take me back to where it left, or whatever. I don't know. It's a good fucking song, but the soundtrack almost made the game, and it was just, and the NHL was in a lockout that year too, I remember. It was 2004-05 season, so I remember that was when I was really just starting to get into hockey too as a kid and stuff, and it just kind of sucked. You couldn't watch the games, so I had to play the video game, and I just put hours and hours and hours in NHL 2005, and I remember you could play, you could set to make it a 23-game season only, so I would just play a shit ton of seasons and do 23-game seasons, and it was fucking awesome. But I remember Wes Walls was on the Wild, Antti Laaksonen, all those fucking dudes. It was awesome.
The early 2000s NHL video games, they have the best soundtracks in video games besides, I think, Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yes.
Besides that.
Well, and also NHL 2005, they had Jim Houston. You know, the great save Luongo. Yeah. It was fucking awesome.
Iconic voice.
Yeah.
Amazing.
All right, Wags, what's your number three?
Number trace for me is going to be Red Dead Redemption 1 and 2, one of the greatest series of video games of all time. The second one was an absolute masterpiece. I actually didn't grow up playing. I never played the very first one. It just kind of fell off my radar. It was very popular, but I had a PlayStation 2, and I remember it was Xbox, I believe, at the time. It might have been PlayStation. Who the fuck knows? But when I played 2, it was, at the time, the best game I ever played. It was amazing. The graphics were so immersive. The storyline's amazing. And who doesn't want to be a fucking cowboy?
No, I mean, you are a cowboy in that game. And you can, it's like Grand Theft Auto,
but
in the Old West.
In the Wild West. Yeah, you steal some guy's horse.
Yeah.
Fuck around and find out.
It's, I think one of the top games ever made. And it was just an absolute blast to play. And then upon, discovering the second one, I went back to the first one. And it still holds up. It's a great game.
Yeah.
I still love the South Park making fun of Red Dead Redemption 2 when the cop's wife is he catches her playing and he shows up at home and he hears the game going on in there and he's like, oh, that bitch. He runs in. You've been playing my campaign, haven't you? Just fucking hilarious.
All right. My number three, kind of along similar lines, Grand Theft Auto 5.
There we go.
Just an unreal and realistic game. who was it? Someone on the internet was in LA and they were like, dude, I feel like this is like the Grand Theft Auto map. It's like, yeah, it's the exact same thing. It's pretty crazy. But yeah, GTA 5 was unreal, man. The amount of space on that map, all like the campaign was unreal. The level of detail, all the different things you could do. It's about as close as you can get to just real life is like being in Grand Theft Auto 5. It's pretty close. So
Rockstar made some amazing games in the early 2000s. Do you guys remember the game Bully?
Yep.
That's another amazing game Rockstar made. It's like Grand Theft Auto, but for you're in a high school student, right? Yeah. Like, that's what it is.
And your goal is to literally bully. Like part of your mission is to bully people.
Yeah.
It was really fascinating.
Shout out to Rockstar for always influencing children to make the wrong choices.
Rockstar.
Like, I think in Family Guy, when Peter loses his memory, Lois is like, hey, I'm going to have you play 5 hours of Grand Theft Auto 5 so that you can learn how to drive again. And, like, he ends up just, like, hitting a chick with a baseball bat, stealing her money, and then stealing a car.
Proper way to drive right there.
Yeah, but GTA 5 is unreal, man. I mean, if you take, like, 5+ years to develop a game, like, it's gonna come out beautifully. I know that they're still, like, they still are, like, adding, like, map packs and stuff or, like, campaign additions. I know GTA 6, I think, has been being worked on for a while. I've heard it's going to be an international game. I'm not like a game guy, so if I'm wrong, I apologize, but I've heard that one's going to be insane, so I'm ready for it. All right.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, bud.
Move to number two. Jake, what do you got? Number two.
I got Backyard Baseball 2003.
Great. Yep.
I put so much time into that as when I was a kid, but I mean, like, that was the platinum golden gem of
played
that,
on the computer
of
right?
those playing of on the course, computer
yep. Use Pablo of, Pete Wheeler
Pete Wheeler Pablo, Pablo Sanchez
the greatest athlete of all time.
I remember
all time.
and then the pro players they had in that game were just the best, like Derek Jeter. I think they had Barry Bonds on that one.
They had Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. Yeah. This was the height of the steroid
Ichiro Hastrick, guys.
Yeah. Awesome. Ichiro was in it. Yeah,
it was unbelievable.
Who is the Curt Schilling?
I don't know if he was in 2003. Was he
2000?
He might have been in like a 2001.
Randy Johnson was in one.
Randy Johnson was in 03, and then Brad Racky was in 03.
Okay, this is the one. Curt Schilling was in it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
he was with the Phillies.
Okay, yep. Then I think Frank Thomas was in it as well.
Random question. Brad Racky, he's Twins Hall of Famer, right? You would think so.
Minnesota Twins
Hall of Famer. Like the
I
Ring
think
of
so.
Honor.
I think he is.
He should be if he's
I think
not.
He should be. Yeah. I think he already is, but if he isn't, he should be.
Sorry,
I know that.
They brought back the nostalgia.
Move on.
When said his name.
Ken, we went further back
Ken
in nostalgia.
Ken Griffey Jr.
He was in that too. Vladimir Guerrero.
Dude, if you had Ken Griffey Jr. on your team, like it would be a 10% chance you don't hit a home run every time you're up to bat.
You would have to like.
Wasn't he cover athlete?
Who was?
Who was on the cover of that?
Let's look it up, honey. That game, yeah, dude. I played that game on my parents gave me like a hand-me-down Windows 97.
Yes,
that I played it on
Mike Piazza as the kid.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, it was awesome. They would have like the real picture with the kid picture, and it was great. God, I fucking love those games.
Then they had like the kid announcers.
Yeah, like
color commentator
yeah.
and the play-by-play guy.
They would
guy,
say the dumbest
big,
shit.
The big guy, Chucky, I think he was the play-by-play kind of guy.
No, it was Sunny Day.
Sunny Day
it was that
and
chick and then that...
Chad, Chucky. Yeah, look up
like
Backyard baseball play-by-play.
Backyard baseball commentators.
I'm pretty sure it's a big guy.
These people...
It's definitely a football guy.
Well, I think in some of the games they've had him...
it's probably different. Well, I think it's the same.
They had a guy in backyard basketball.
Nasally voice.
Vinny the Gooch.
I remember Vinny.
That's right, Vinny the Gooch. But I think in some other ones they had some strange ones too.
Yeah,
like they had some characters that they would like. It was like I would still laugh at some of the comments they would make today.
I love backyard football, like the Hocus Pocus.
Yep.
Oh yes.
I want to make a meme with like Justin Jefferson the next time he burns a guy that like the coach just activated like the one Hocus Pocus he got.
Dude, all the backyard like the backyard franchise, right? Even backyard hockey. Was
backyard
amazing.
Hockey.
Backyard soccer was good. I went through a stint with that. You go to the World Cup.
It was strange that I actually got into like backyard soccer back in the day.
That was a good game.
They were all amazing. There was backyard skateboarding. That game kind of sucked, but
dude,
I still got into it.
That whole backyard thing must have been just a fucking empire back in the day, because I know everybody I grew up with had all of them. Like you'd have that little computer book where you'd have all the discs and you'd flip the pages.
Yep.
Like for my book, half of them were backyard games.
Yep.
You had to. And like they had, I got more. The last one I got was like Backyard Baseball 2007 for like PlayStation 2. Like I went hardcore. I got Backyard Football 2007. I got as well, and it had Ben Roethlisberger on the cover.
The issue with the backyard games was the graphics got way too good, and then you were getting to the age where you were competing with like your Maddens and stuff. Yeah. So you kind of like, you kind of make the transition, but
you kind of want to like to be honest, my senior year of college when I was procrastinating, I started playing backyard baseball 2003. Like I'm like this game still slaps.
Yeah, I remember I did that in the past, but like it's way too easy.
I know.
Do you remember the fields? You had like the one in the parking lot.
Yeah, the playground.
Too. Yeah, then you had the shitty just like sand one. Then you had like the sand lot. Then you had like one at the beach.
One at the desert.
And then there was like the really nice field with like the scoreboard. And then there's like eight people in the crowd with fat heads like we have in here.
Yeah. And then what was some of like the lines?
There was like the actual backyard one where there's a little swing set and the little kiddie pool. Mm-hmm.
We want a ladder, not a broken ladder. Wait, batter. We want a batter, but
pitcher,
not...
Pitcher.
We you just pitcher, hear some strange shit. Pitcher.
You could throw a slow ball and it would literally like have cobwebs by the time it got to the bat.
Oh, dude. Gosh.
Remember the ice balls?
Oh, yeah.
Slow-mo pitch and just the... When you got that power-up where you saw the aluminum bat, you're like,
oh,
all right,
shit.
Let's sit back and you miss the ball and you lose the power-up. Literally, you'd want to like end your life.
I
think
that's
at that
the first
point.
Time I probably ever rage at a video game is when you get the aluminum bat.
10 years old playing on a Windows 97.
You're talking about pain? You're talking about pain of missing the baseball when you get that aluminum power up bat in backyard baseball.
Yeah. All right, Wags, what's your number two?
My number two is NHL 2002. This is like the first NHL game that I really, really got into heavily. And the reason why this game is so awesome is because the two announcers in the game. They're jokey. Like they make jokes the whole entire time. It's not serious commentating, but it's like the official NHL licensed game. Mm-hmm. So you had the option to turn it off, but as like a little kid, you always wanted the funny shit, right? So all I would do is just play it and laugh all the time. I remember once when you're a kid, you have nothing better to do. I would just like would put. You know, you had two controllers. I'd have one on one team, one on the other team, and I would just manually pull the other team's goalie, and I'd just try to score 100 goals in a game, right?
You were trying to hit those overs.
Trying to hit those overs as a young lad, right? So, but one of the best games of all time is honestly, I think, the game that got me into hockey. So I just look back on it super fondly. I also remember, like, a lot of people that hated that the commentary was, like, joking. Like, they did not
it'd
like
be
that
like
at
putting
all.
It's like, calm down,
It's
though.
Like putting Biz Nasty in there.
Yeah, which
it'd
would
be hilarious.
It would spice up the game a lot. Like, you're there, you're playing a video game to have fun, not for, like, I mean, yeah, you can turn on a realism mode if that's what you want for, like, franchise or something, but in general, you're playing to have fun to shoot the shit. Like, let's have fun.
Was it Jim Houston still, like, the play-by-play?
Bill Clement is replaced by Don Taylor.
Okay.
Taylor's quirky and often slapstick commentary style drew mixed reaction from the fans.
It's
the
like,
game.
Calm down. That's funny.
If
that's
you're
great.
Getting mad over commentary in a video game, you need to calm the fuck down.
Yeah, it was like, do you guys ever play MLB Slugfest? It was that kind of commentary.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really, really funny. One thing that I just realized about the game, it came out 6 days after 9/11.
Really?
Wow, that's crazy.
Well, it brought positivity to people in a time where we were very down in this country.
Right.
I'm glad.
Right. My number two is Black Ops 1, the original one. Out of all the games I'll list, I think this was the one I was the best at. I had, you know, a lot of gold guns, prestiges. I was kind of in that weird phase in high school where, like, you just kind of play video games all summer and you're like, screw sports, man. I don't want to do that shit. Mm-hmm. Kind of that sophomore, junior jump. But honestly, just this game just all around was just the best. Like, campaign was kind of like a cool alternative history of, like, the Cold War in Vietnam, you know, if we had gone to war with Russia, basically. Like, multiplayer was sweet, you know, because I had, like, all the map packs and stuff. They had great guns. I remember they introduced, like, some new game modes. I think they were the first one to have gun game, I believe. Mm-hmm. They were the first
one. Wager matches.
The wager matches. Like, one in the chamber was a really fun one where everyone's running around with a pistol and then a pistol with one bullet and a knife. And you have to, like, kind of be strategic with, like, how you use the pistol. And then everyone's like a one hit kill. But, and then like what they had some really cool like maps in the expansion. They had like a golf course one. I just remember me and my friends like playing that all summer. And then finally Zombies, the best Zombies game, in my opinion, the default maps like Keynoter Toten and 5 were awesome. You had the expansion ones like the moon, like the movie set one. You had, you even had like the World at War throwbacks with like Dries and, just a bunch of like German names that I can't quite remember at the time.
Not there on Dalton.
Yeah. All of those ones. So I don't know, dude. Like Black Ops 1 for me just holistically was like the best, like one of my favorite games. And I actually like bought the Xbox 360 disc when they remastered it when I was in college. And I think we still have it upstairs. So that one was always one of my favorite ones to play.
I think everyone has like a single Call of Duty game that they look on and like, that's the game for me. For me, it's MW2. It's like, that's the first time I really got into Call of Duty. Jake, I'm pretty sure for you, is it Black Ops?
No, I don't want to reveal it. It's my number one.
Oh, look at that. So boom,
but no, Black Ops was like the hyper on Black Ops was I was like a we were a freshman and we were about the same age. We were in like middle school, freshman in high school, and like that was the one where like Call of Duty was really high up in the trajectory as trending almost like as for young teenage boys, I should say. And we were just running around the fucking school, Black Ops.
Yep.
Like the week leading up to the release. That was, yeah. Everybody was yelling
that's
that so shit.
That's the era of Doritos, Mountain Dew, staying up all night, playing that game with your friends.
Yeah, I guess so. I was in seventh grade maybe when it came out then. If you guys were
eighth grade,
then I was probably seventh grade. But yeah, no, late middle
I think it
school.
Came out in ninth grade.
Okay. Oh, it did?
Came out in 2010, the year after Modern Warfare 2. Yeah, so we
I
were,
was
yeah.
I was eighth grade. But yeah. Just an all-around great game, and they tried to make sequels, and none of them ever compared. I actually stopped buying the Black Ops ones because I'm like, I don't know how they'll ever outdo that game, and I don't think they ever did.
Call of Duty in general is getting a little stale at this point.
It's hard, dude. Yeah. They've done so well. It's really hard to just keep it going.
World War II was a fun little one, but
Cold War was okay. Yeah. I heard Vanguard was fun. I haven't played it.
I just don't have the interest to either.
No, I just don't.
Can't sit down and play Xbox. I did actually recently re-download World at War on Xbox One.
That's a great game.
Replayed the campaign of that. Zombies on there were great. But
OG zombie map, right?
Nocturne Totem.
It was really hard to sit down and play Xbox for more than an hour without just like being bored or feeling like I should be doing something better.
Welcome to 2022, right?
Yeah, welcome to being a fucking adult.
Oh. All
right. Let's get into number ones.
My number one, speaking of Call of Duty, this is the game that changed it all for me. I don't think there's a game that has even come close to this. Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, the original Modern Warfare, because this was the year I got the Xbox. I saw this game coming out. I remember in like spring of 07, all I had was the Wii. I'm like, I need an Xbox to get this fucking game. And then I got one for Christmas. After playing Halo 3, I would like, or NHL 08, I'd pop this game in, and it was the first like Call of Duty that like revolutionized like the prestige, the systems, the gold guns, the perks and everything. It was the first game that ever did that. And the multiplayer was next to none, but the campaign, like I think the campaign was...
It was insane.
It was amazing. Like Modern Warfare 2s, I really like Modern Warfare 2. I just always, I fell in love with Call of Duty and like gaming with Call of Duty 4 because the campaign was amazing. Because you're used to all these World War 2 games. Call of Duty 3 was okay, but then... The first modern warfare like campaign with Captain Price, and the end was so sad. You think he dies? Spoiler, but he doesn't.
Spoiler for a game that came out 15 decades ago.
But it was fucking like I got so into that game. I got World at War the next year, but I was still playing Call of Duty 4 probably as much as World at War until like Modern Warfare 2 came out 2 years later.
Well, dude,
it was insane.
I always think of like the Chernobyl mission. Where you're in the ghillie suit and there's like the Ferris wheel.
Yep.
I think that's like what most people probably think of is like that scene.
Thousands of people used to live here.
Yeah.
Now it's a ghost town. That's where it comes from. Right. And then there's that the initial mission when you're going on to the ship from the helicopter. It's at night. You get the night goggles on. Like just revolutionary. Yeah. There was no all games were World War II based.
Surprised it took them that long.
I know.
They wanted to get it right.
Touchy subject because I mean we were in the Middle East back then too. But they it was awesome, amazing game.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about that like that. I actually remember I used to play all the like campaigns in a row back when like multiplayer wasn't quite a thing. Like at least for younger kids like me, I used to do like you'd start with the Modern Warfare campaign, you'd jump right to MW2, and then if like right when it came out, you'd play MW3 because the storylines were incredible too. It was like watching a movie too.
I know.
For me, I had before I played multiplayer, I would have to beat the campaign.
Me too.
And that's still a rule for me. Mm-hmm. I think I did buy one of the Call of Duties a few years ago, and I actually did play the all my friends were on multiplayer. They wanted to play like team deathmatch. I'm like, nope, got to play the campaign first. Yep.
I regretfully paid $60.
It's part of the game.
No, you have to do that. Like you have to play the campaign before you play multiplayer. Yes. But I regretfully spent a whole $60 on Infinity Warfare. That was actually one of the most disliked videos on YouTube ever when the trailer came out. It was like Halo. But it came with the incentive was back then you could get the Call of Duty 4 remastered. And so I spent $60 like, okay, maybe this game looks shitty, but maybe I'll get into that a little bit. But I'm mainly buying it for Call of Duty 4. Played one online game not even one full game on Infinity War. I quit after 2 minutes.
Was that the one where you could like run on the walls and ceilings and shit?
Yeah, essentially. And you had like laser guns and shit, made up stuff. It was
They got too.
It was too much. It was too much.
I was in a game for 2 minutes. I'm like, this is terrible. This is the worst Call of Duty game I ever. One of the worst video games I ever played. Get off my lawn, kind of guy. Yeah, and I'm like, I immediately just would play the remastered Call of Duty 4 the whole time.
Yeah,
but
I kind of want to play that campaign again now that you're talking.
I'm gonna play all the COD campaigns now, dude.
All
the
Halo campaigns. Legs, what's your number one?
My number one game of all time is Fallout New Vegas. There's something like Fallout New Vegas was the first Fallout game I ever played. And there's just, to me, there was something so cool that you could do whatever you wanted in the game. You could talk to whoever you want. You could kill whoever you wanted. You could kill people that you needed to complete the game. That to me was so cool. Like, wow, I have complete control of this game and whatever happens, like, it's in my hands. That was the coolest thing. And to this day, I still play every single Fallout game when it comes out. It's never gotten better than Fallout New Vegas because there's not a better place to do an end-of-the-world apocalypse setting than Vegas. Mm-hmm. It's so cool that not only are you fucking with all these creatures in the desert, but then you go to the Strip, you're gambling, you're running into all these interesting characters. The greatest game of all time, in my opinion.
They're very intelligent games. Like, it's insane, like, the amount of time they had put into those games. Like, sure, they had, like, their little glitches and stuff like that, but, like, the intellect and, like, every single person almost had a personality. And it was insane. And it was like a apocalyptic Grand Theft Auto. We had a friend who would, like, literally made a hotel. He became a serial killer in the game.
Yeah, he would bring his bodies back to the hotel. He'd chop up the limbs and he'd hang up the heads in rooms and stuff like that. Yeah, and like a crazy motherfucker.
And speaking, I think I might have talked about this too, but there was, like, you mentioned you can kill characters that are essential to winning the game.
Yes.
I remember, like, we started the game, me and my buddy. We started the game off. We just got bored. We started killing people, and they're like, "Okay, let's actually figure out how to win the game." We got stuck. One of our other friends came over, who we know is an expert on it. He's like, "Okay, let's go find this guy." Oh no, we killed that guy. What? We got to start the whole fucking game over. You need that guy to win the game. Like, oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and again, it just goes back to ultimate choice, ultimate freedom. Like, you don't get that in any other video games, really, than Fallout, man. I know other games are getting there. Red Dead Redemption does a great job as well, right? But for me, Fallout was the first ever version of that sort of game I ever got to experience, and it's stuck with me ever since. So, shout out to Fallout New Vegas.
Fallout.
All right, my number one. Kind of changing gears from you guys. I had Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2005.
Okay.
This one was epic. Obviously, not as good of an intro as 04. Have you seen that video recently?
That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, was that
make me lose my mind? No, so this was the year later. Not as good of an intro, but if you're a golf guy, you definitely have played this game, whether it was on your GameCube, like a PS2, original Xbox. You get to play against legends like Arnold Palmer, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus when they're back in their prime. Beating Tiger is the hardest one, and it was really cool because you'd, like, walk into this hall, and, like, all these cages would be, like, or all these, like, shrine areas would be locked up until you beat that guy. And I remember it was, like, such an achievement, like, beating everybody. And then, oddly enough, Justin Timberlake was in that game. It was really weird.
What?
So he was, like,
celebrity golfer?
He was, like, and he's, like, he's known to be, like, a scratch golfer. They're all hitting the smelling salts. Now, they're known to be, not fun. They're known to be, like ooh. He's like one of the more famous scratch golfers, but you have to play against him in the game.
Hitting one.
He uses like an 8-ball when he plays. They also had a really cool feature where you could design a course and you could literally design the way the grass was cut. You had like a budget.
That's so ahead of its time to be able to do that.
Yeah, it was insane. And for those of you who are golf guys out there, the R7 was the newest club in the game. You could buy that. That was the most expensive driver, was the R7, which is just crazy because we've progressed so far from like the R kind of like line in TaylorMade drivers that now we're on the M's. They're moving to like other names. It's just crazy.
I'm sure at the time you could probably still use Nike golf clubs.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. You could. The Sasquatch was in that game, yeah, I believe. Back when
Nike Sasquatch.
That was back when they were using squares. They tried squares for a little bit. Did not work. Square shaped clubs. But yeah, Tiger was the hardest guy to beat, man. The guy basically made birdie on every hole. So you had to get really crafty with beating him. But I mean, John Daly was in his prime in that game. All sorts of other players, Vijay Singh. I mean, I could go on forever, but if you're a golf person, you definitely have played PGA Tour 2005. And finally, I just wanted to do an honorable mention section because I know we all probably missed some. Did you guys have any honorable mentions you wanted to list?
I'm sure Jake has.
I mean, I literally
just
listed.
Just like a couple.
No. I'm not going to go through the list as fast as I would like to do it. Geez, I have a lot. I might go with... We discussed Star Wars Battlefront, so we'll go off of that. I'm going to go with Medal of Honor, the original Medal of Honor back in the day in early GameCube days. the Normandy Beach scene. You go up in Normandy Beach next to none, just an amazing game. And I still remember, like, I would play with multiplayer with my brothers, like split screen. One of the characters you could choose would be a granny. And it'd be so funny, like, if you weren't the granny, you'd run into, like, my brother as the granny. You just see this granny walking around with a fucking, like, M1 Garand and shit, like, blasting the shit out of you. It was fucking awesome.
Someone in the development community just absolutely disrespected Normandy by being like, let's let people be custom characters.
Not on Normandy, just on split screen multiplayer.
I was gonna say, I thought they built that into that level.
No. Like, that's just, Normandy Beach was the first level. But if you played split screen, like just general split screen multiplayer, like private match kind of game, you could choose your character or whatever.
Gotcha.
You could choose any map. Normandy was just the first level map in the campaign. You'd be a default character, but it was an amazing game.
An honorary mention I have would be the NFL Street games.
Yes,
those were so fun. I put just as much time into those games as a kid as I did in Madden.
Yeah,
they're the funnest, and it's kind of like Madden and the backyard franchise mixed, right? You can do all this fun stuff and a little bit of GTA in there. Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of people on every social media talk to really try to bring those back.
Yeah, they should.
That would be, I think a lot of people would buy it. I think it'd do really well personally.
And also, like, the era that they were playing in, like, that was the perfect time to do a street video game. You know what I'm saying? So one of the best series all around is that NFL Blitz Street Games.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And my final honorable mention is Minecraft.
Okay,
here you go.
I think even if you were in a Minecraft phase at one point in your life, you could still pick it right back up where you left mm-hmm. off. I used to think it was a stupid game until, like, I finally played it with some friends, and next thing you know, I'm playing it for, like, hours. Plus, I feel like Minecraft is not, like, the worst game you can play for, like, your mental health, intellect. Like, you're not spending, like, you know, 9 hours straight shooting guys. Like, you're building things. You're like
being creative.
You're being resourceful. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's crazy. Like when I'm working, sometimes I'll play those Spotify playlists that are like mind, like food or like brain food to help you think.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like a lot of the songs from Minecraft are actually on that like thing, because like that music really helped you just get in the zone and like build stuff and.
Minecraft had a killer soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Survival mode was by far the most fun, or the most rewarding, I guess, when you could just build a little life for yourself in a virtual world with your buddies.
So. It was one of those games where I love that game, and I had definitely had my phase through it and where I'd even take it seriously, but there would be the points just like in Forge and in Halo, if you know what that is, where I would get bored, I would go up to people's places they built and just start breaking it down, or I would sit right behind them when they're building, I would just destroy everything right behind them,
just
and they would turn around.
Asshole.
Yep. Yeah, but then legitimately we'd actually go into public servers back in the day and just grief people because we'd get bored and destroy shit. Yeah. It's fun. It's a good time.
You're just a living embodiment of a troll.
Killer King of... at one point on Call of Duty 4, to go back to that quick, I made my clan name KOTK, King of Team Killing, because I would just... You could easily team kill, on that game, but back then I shared the account with my brothers, so... My older brother wasn't too fun when he went on there and got a bunch of hate messages, and our KD was down,
just awful.
and he got suspended for a day or something.
How much your KD meant to you when you were in middle school?
Oh, man.
King of Team Killing. Can you imagine how problematic it'd be if an actual military had a guy like that?
Dude, it was like 10 of us that I just made friends with one night. Like, you guys want to go around lobbies and just start killing the shit out of people? Our own team? Yeah, let's do it.
I had a little stint with Call of Duty World War II when it came out when we were in college, I think the most recent one. I'd play hardcore mode with a sniper, and dude, I'd sometimes, like, you know, it's just one shot kill with semi-auto, and sometimes a teammate runs in there and you just got a quick instinct, you kill him. Dude. And then it happens two or three times in a row. Next thing you know, you're bounced.
I love, you know, hardcore mode where it's like everything super, so you can team kill it. Like, as soon as you spawn, someone just throws a grenade.
Yep. Yeah. Sometimes I just cook a grenade and run into a building where I know a lot of people are going to be in. And then next thing you know, my screen just goes to that little warning message. You have been kicked for team killing.
Dude. Search and destroy when in a hardcore, when like it would be, you'd be the last two people left, but you just had to defuse the bomb. I'd let the other guy go and defuse the bomb. And everybody's like, yeah, we got this, man. I'd just, like, right before he defused it, I'd, like, knife him. And then I'd kill myself. Just, this is the lobby. It's great.
Yeah.
Donnie, who had the best list?
Yeah, who?
I did. I just didn't say any of them.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's a good answer.
All right. We'll leave it anonymous. But all right, folks, that was another episode of It's a Bit. Hopefully we gave you a little shot of nostalgia on this Wednesday morning. But thanks again for listening. Like we said before, we're going to be doing Wednesday releases, just moving some stuff around in the studio for some of the other pods. But yeah, look us up on any social media site, 10K Takes. Listen to the new betting show, It's a Bet, on KFan. Usually Sundays now. Sundays like around 1.
Yep.
I think it's usually where we're averaging, but it might change every week. Also, check out the new betting show. We have 10K Stakes, the sports betting side of 10K. Now that a lot of our teams are gone, you know, we're getting a little more into the sports betting. We're also going to be following the Twins. Twins are hot.
Mm-hmm. They're on fire. Very sexy. Yeah. Very sexy.
It's just...
But, with playoffs, it's pretty hard to not sports.
Playoffs? Hey, you think about, oh, they're doing well now, and then come 3 months down the road.
I know. Dude,
Oh.
I love how they have this hot shot prospect and Royce Lewis, and they just, hey, you just hit 3 home runs in the last 2 games. Welcome back to the minors. It makes no sense.
Well, it benefits us if he's at the game, though, on Saturday. Oh, when we're at the Cup Snake, that'll make the environment more electric.
Correct. Yeah. Once again, show up to the Cup Snake Saturday.
If you don't, I'll kill you.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm trying to be Barney.
He kills people on his own team, dude. Yeah. He might kill us.
Mm-hmm. I do.
He's clearly not a team player.
Well, king of team killing.
King of team killing, yeah.
Should I release my list of 55 games?
You could do it. You could do it in a blog, and you might get some people who read all of them.
Yeah.
That'd actually be a great blog. You also don't even have an explanation. It'll really piss people off if you just have it listed.
No explanation. I was going to say that'd be a long project to do that explanations. I'm just going to list them.
Yeah. This is...
My list of top 55 games. Or
if you don't agree, fuck off.
Or you post a TikTok where it says which game is better. It's an obvious choice and a not obvious choice. It says like for the not obvious choice and then comment for the obvious choice and then turn off the comment.
That's the best part.
JJ, hold on really quick. In your list of 50, did you have any follow games?
I actually had Fallout 3 and New Vegas.
Oh, well, look at that.
I did.
There you go.
Yes. No Pokemon.
No Coliseum. Oh, Pokemon on Game Boy Color. I missed it. Damn it, I also missed Mario Kart.
Yeah. I could say Mario Bros. Adventure World.
Mario Sunshine was a good one.
Yep.
Ah, damn it. Yeah, we got to stop before we...
We're going for another hour.
I'm feeling too much nostalgia.
The need for speed.
Yeah, thanks guys for listening to another episode.
Do.
Oh, yes. Chakra.
Another episode of It's a Bit. We'll talk to you next time.